Yes.
Whoa, that's high.
Good afternoon, church. Yeah, there's at least some here. Whenever I'm here, I try to practice this, but it doesn't work out. So good afternoon, church. Anybody awake? Ah, that's why. You don't hear me.
Dear brothers and sisters, last week we celebrated Pentecost, and you had, as far as I heard, a wonderful service. Two wonderful services with inspirational messages. We had a guest speaker here. We had Pedro Perla preaching downstairs at the second service. And both services were fantastic, I've heard. If you talk about a church, usually people will tell you that Pentecost is one of the so-called solemnities. That means that it's one of the most important events of the church calendar. Of course, others are Christmas, where our Lord and Savior was born, Easter, where Jesus was crucified, He died, and He rose again, and it is Pentecost. On Pentecost, we remember that the Holy Spirit was poured out onto all flesh. That sounds very divine, doesn't it? The problem is, nearly nobody knows what it means. Okay, I think this is one of the biggest problems of our churches in 21st century. When we speak about the Holy Spirit, we are very theoretically. And we are very theoretic when we talk about Pentecost. Yeah, the Holy Spirit was poured out. The disciples had little funny flames on their head. Some would say Pentecost is the beginning of the church. But is that the important thing? Is it that the reason why Pentecost is one of the most important events of our church calendar? Some would say, yes. I would say, no. Of course, it is very important that with Pentecost, the church was founded. But I think it's much more important that with Pentecost, the belief of the people has changed. People themselves were changed, and the whole world was changed because of Pentecost. We're talking about what happened right after the disciples had been filled with the Holy Spirit. We read today in the book of Acts, chapter 2, the verses 14 to 41. It switches to himself. I didn't do anything. Come on, buddy. Funny thing. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed to the crowd, fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire, and billows of smoke. The sun will turn to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. Fellow Israelites, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him. And as you yourself know, this man was handed over to by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad and my tongue rejoices. My body also will rest in hope, because you will not abandon me for the realm of the dead. You will not let your holy see the decay. You have made known to me the path of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. Fellow Israelites, I can tell you confidently that the patriarch David died and was buried in his tomb is there, and his tomb is there this day. But he was a prophet and knew that God has promised him on oath that he would place one of his descendants on his throne. Seeing what to come, he spoke of the resurrection of the Messiah, that he was not abandoned to the realm of the dead, nor did his body see decay. God has raised Jesus, this Jesus, to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit, and has poured out what you now see and hear. For David did not ascend to heaven, and yet he said, "The Lord sent to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet." Therefore, let all Israel be assumed of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness of all your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from the corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. I got 5 points today. Yes, it's gone again. Nice. The first is transformation through the Holy Spirit. Peter stands up. Peter was that guy who denied Jesus just some days ago. Peter was a little bit like me, a loser. He wanted to serve the Lord. He even told Jesus that he would die for him. But when it became serious after Jesus was arrested, he was full of fear. Peter was also that guy that didn't believe that Jesus could walk on water. So he had one of the strangest experiences of all the disciples by leaving the boat. But even there, you could see his belief was not very strong and he began to sink. Peter was that disciple that was, I would say, too humble to be obedient. When Jesus wanted to wash the feet of the disciples, Peter didn't want to give Jesus permission to do that. Peter was a strange person. Peter was a guy with a good heart who never wanted to make a mistake, but he did them very often. On the other hand, this Peter was the first to recognize that Jesus was the Son of God, that Jesus was the Lord of Lords. And to this Peter, Jesus said, "You are Peter. On you, on this rock, I will build my church. And the gates of hell will not overcome it." This Peter, shy, frightened, after what the disciples had to see and experience, I would say kind of puzzled, this Peter suddenly stands up and starts preaching. Some days ago, he denied Jesus. Nothing could happen to him. Now he stood up. The people of Jerusalem were making fun of the disciples just a second before. "Hey, can't you see they are drunk?" And Peter said, "No." He started preaching, saying, "Fellow Jews, all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose." Where is his fear? It's gone. Where is his kind of resistance? It's gone. Why? Because the Holy Spirit filled his heart. Because the Holy Spirit had changed him from the inside out. There was suddenly a burning fire in Peter's heart, a fire that really kind of forced him to stand up, to confess, not to be quiet anymore. It was the fire of the Holy Spirit, God's love, God's power that pushed him. Peter was changed from one second to the other by this Holy Spirit, by this Spirit of God. The second, equipped by the Holy Spirit, Peter preaches in godly authority. The second thing that's conspicuous is that Peter suddenly can preach in authority. He was not only changed by God, God also equipped him. The same people that made fun of the disciples just a moment ago, they were silent. They listened. And even more. The Bible said that they were cut through their hearts by the words of Peter's sermon. And this is why he said Pentecost is more than the beginning of the church. When people are filled by the Holy Spirit of God, they are not only changed, they are also equipped. When I became a Christian, I grew up in a church that didn't have a lot to do with the Holy Spirit, except this theoretical expression. Of course we were talking about Trinity. Everybody does. Every Christian church says, we believe in God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Of course I knew that the Spirit of God was present even in the beginning when God Father created the world. But we were the kind of Christians that were only afraid of overemphasizing the Spirit. We wanted to distance ourselves from the so-called charismatic Christians or the Pentecostals. For us, they were talking too much about the Spirit. They were overemphasizing the Spirit. And you know what? I was so stupid. I was so silly. Because the result was, we didn't speak about the Holy Spirit anymore. Except we had the confession every day and we believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe in God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. But we didn't know what it meant. There was no Holy Spirit. I personally needed years for me to find out what the Bible means when it says that people can be filled by the Spirit of God. That John the Baptist prophesied that after him, after John himself, there will be someone who baptizes with fire and with Holy Spirit. And to say you can overemphasize the Spirit of God, people, this is silly. Why? We believe in Trinity. We believe the Holy Spirit is a power of God. So if we say we overemphasize the Spirit of God, we say we overemphasize God Himself. And that's silly. You never can overemphasize God in your life or in a service or whatever. So what is the difference between having the Spirit? I had the Spirit of God in that days. Or being filled with the Spirit. Or, like John the Baptist said, being baptized with the Holy Spirit. Of course, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, you cannot confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior without the Holy Spirit. Of course. So if Jesus is your Lord, of course you get the Holy Spirit. Yes. A friend of mine, a pastor in the London Kirche, he helped me out with a metaphor, with a picture that helped me a lot. He said, when I send you an email with a zip file, and you download this email, you also, of course, got the zip file. So this is, compared with the Holy Spirit, the time when people become Christians. The Holy Spirit, of course, is present there. But if you want to use your zip file, what do you have to do? You have to unzip it. And this is what Christians mean when they are talking about being baptized with the Holy Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. This was what I didn't understand for years. I thought, I have the Holy Spirit, of course. Being filled or baptized with the Holy Spirit means kind of activate Him, though I This is the lack of the picture. I cannot activate the Holy Spirit. The only thing I can do is open my heart and say, here's room for you, Holy Spirit. So this means to be filled with the Holy Spirit can be a different experience than becoming a Christian. I know some Christians will deny this, but I'm pretty sure I'm right. There are several stories in the book of Acts where people were Christians and the disciples came and said, are you having the Holy Spirit? And they said, no. And the disciples laid hands on them and the Holy Spirit came and signs followed. Usually they started talking in tongues. So this was like unzipping the zip file. For them it was, for us it's just a click. For them it was kind of laying hands on them. So what Peter experienced was that the Holy Spirit came into his life with power. You've heard last week what happened with the disciples on Pentecost, and that changed this Peter totally. The shy Peter became the preacher. And it equipped him. And the Bible says that exactly, and now it's becoming important, that exactly this shall happen to all of us, to you and me, to all of us. No matter if you're a Christian for one day or a Christian for 100 years. Peter is quoting the prophet Joel, and Joel said, in the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Oh, yes, I dream very often dreams. One of the dreams is that my baby girl is stopping crying so much and I can sleep again. But this is not the dreams the Bible means. Your old man will dream dreams, even on my servants, both men and women. I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. Today in this service, we got those people. We got older people like me, and we got younger people like Jeff. We get both boys and girls, ladies and gents. And the Bible says when the Spirit comes, we all shall be filled with it. We all shall be changed from the inside out. And we all shall be equipped like Peter was equipped. If you now say, okay, this is an old story. Listen, you're pastor number two. You're new here. You don't know what you're talking about because I joined this church for... Klaus is not here today. I joined this church for 50 years. I've heard this 50 times every year on Pentecost. I hear this story. Let me ask you. Where are the people in our church that, like Peter, stand up? Where are the people that prophesy? Where are the people that have visions? Where are the people that have dreams, that do miracles? Do we all have that kinds of gifts? If we have, wonderful. Let's meet after the service. And then we are like a bouquet of flowers. And this is going to change not only this church, this is going to change this whole Bezirk, this whole city, this whole country we're living in. Have we been changed and equipped like Peter was? Or later like Apostle Paul was? Or the other disciples? If not, I think it's time to open our hearts and unzip this zip file. Give more room to this Holy Spirit. 3, victorious through the Holy Spirit. Because of Peter's words, people were cut through their hearts and became Christians. It is obvious that Peter had a lot of success. 3,000 people. So what means success? Not the number of converts, but every heart that was changed that day. That's a success. Peter was victorious because the Spirit of God gave him authority. It was not Peter himself. It was not his education. It was not that he went with Jesus for 3 years. It was because he was equipped by the Holy Spirit. And this Holy Spirit gave him the authority he needed. Why he was doing, he did with the Holy Spirit. What he was doing, he did with the Holy Spirit and the power of God. That's the reason why the people stopped making fun, because they heard it was God speaking. Because they could feel the power of God. It was cutting their hearts. So they started listening. And that's the reason why the people suddenly understood the good news. Jesus himself was preaching before in Jerusalem. And they didn't become Christians. Now Peter was preaching in authority. And now they said, oh yeah, now I got it. If I want to be victorious in my life, or if we want to be victorious as a church, we need the same experience like Peter had. Peter was equipped in a very special way. He was kind of the first missionary, and that was his gift. In 1 Corinthians, Paul tells us that every child of God, you and me, every child of God has what he calls the charismas. What is a charisma? It's a gift of God. It's something you didn't learn. And the Bible says, it's very exact, and it says, every Christian has it. How do you know that Peter had it? Peter didn't have time to prepare his sermon. He didn't sit like I did on his desk, had his computer on, Googled a little bit, and then he had a good sermon. He stood up and said, listen people, I had 2 weeks to prepare, so this is a good sermon. No, he stood up and preached. And if you look to the sermon, this is an excellent sermon. This is well structured. It hit into the heart of the people, and the people became Christians. But of course, you're right, not everybody has the gift of preaching. There are a lot of other gifts. Some I've already mentioned. To prophesy, to speak in wisdom, speak in tongues, translating those speaking in tongues, and so on and so on. There's a lot of gifts. The important thing the Bible says is that we all have these gifts. What for? To build the kingdom of God. Peter was very obedient. He stood up and preached in front of 3,000 men. And I think it was more people, because in that time they didn't count the women, they didn't count the children, they didn't count the servants, they only counted the men. Paradise times for us, but it's gone. I once preached about in front of 1,500 people on a Christmas service in the Nikolaikirche in Potsdam, and I nearly died. My heart was, you could hear it, boom. And I had a microphone, I was standing, I think, 3 meters high on a pulpit and was preaching like that. Peter was on the ground. They could have hit him, they could have whatever they wanted to do with him. But Peter was obedient. Why? Because he was filled and equipped by the Holy Spirit. And he had a fire burning in his heart. He couldn't stop anymore. He was obedient to use the gift of God. God just gave him a second before. It's the same with us. If we want to be successful or victorious in our lives as a church, we need the same. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit again and again and again and again, because we lack. We leave a Spirit-filled worship service. We go out and half of the Spirit is gone. So we need it again and again. And just one word to those people of you who think, oh, thank God, I don't have the gift of mission. Bad news for you. You got it. It's no special gift, because Jesus told all the disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel and make disciples. And all the new disciples were called to make new disciples. So if you're a disciple of God, you're called to go out and make new disciples. This is no special gift for special people. Probably we're not called to stand up in front of 3,000 people at the Hermann Ehlers Platz or at the Kudamm and preach there. Okay. But we are called to make disciples. Every Christian is a missionary. Four. Humbly through the Holy Spirit, the way is the same. Repent and be baptized. How can that all happen we just heard? It happens when we do exactly the same what Peter did and what he preached. The people asked him, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for forgiveness and your sins. And you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." You know, may say, okay, Pastor, stop again. I'm a Christian for a long period of time. I've been baptized. So what? I asked you, do you have your spiritual gifts? Do you know what your gift is? Do you know what you received by the Holy Spirit? Do you know how He equipped you to build His kingdom of God here on earth? Wonderful. As I talked before, let us bring our gifts together, our charismas, today. Let's make a list. We're a lot of people today, I guess about, 80 to 100 people, so we should have 80 to 100 gifts. Wonderful. That's a real colorful bouquet of flowers, and then I'm pretty sure the future of this church is awesome. Except for you, you're moving. Sorry for that. You gotta find another church like this. 100 gifted people. So, from next week on, we're gonna change the service. We're gonna have, every Sunday, we're gonna have prophecies here. We're gonna have, wisdom. Not her, but wisdom from Bible, people speaking wisdom. We're going to have healings every Sunday. We're going to have speaking in tongues every Sunday. Of course, with interpretation every Sunday. Hallelujah. I'm excited. You look so skeptically. What's wrong with you? Probably the mistake is, what we didn't understand yet is that we have to repent too. Though we're Christian. You know what repentance means? Turning around and go another way. This is repentance. And repentance is a word nearly nobody likes to hear anymore. But I think we eventually need it, because we're not open. We're not opening our hearts for the Spirit of God. Or we're not willing to use the gifts. Or we're too lazy. Or we're too fearful. Or whatever. We don't use those gifts. Probably we don't have those gifts. And you know what? This is disobedience. This is disobedience. A hard word, but a true word. And I can understand. There are a lot of reasons why children of God don't experience what the Christians in the first century have experienced. But why don't we have a hunger in our hearts to be like the first Christians? We are afraid that we fail. Very often. We are afraid that we haven't enough time then anymore. If I do more for the church, hey, this is set for the kingdom of God, not for the church. But of course, the church can be the place where you shall bring in your gifts, sacrifice your gifts. Okay, probably you're afraid that you don't have enough time for yourself, for your family, for your job, for relaxing, when you find out your gifts. And you're obedient and you go out and build the kingdom of God with your gifts. Probably you're afraid that you're running out of time. Probably you're afraid that you're running out of energy. Sometimes we are afraid of what's happening when the Holy Spirit fills my heart. Do I lose control then? What does it mean that the Holy Spirit is inside me? Sometimes we feel silly when we start speaking in tongues. I've talked to a lot of people that have the gift, and they said, "I'm afraid. If I start speaking in tongues, I don't understand what I'm saying. This sounds silly. This sounds dumb. I don't use it." This is disobedience. Sometimes we have in our heart a feeling that God is speaking to us now. A Bible verse comes into our mind, or when we are praying, something goes into my heart. I would love to go to, like Jeff or Heidi, and say,
Could it be that God spoke to me? Is there any problem in your life or in your marriage or whatever, and educating your kids? Could it be that God spoke to me and that He wants to reach you your hand and help you? And we're afraid to do that. Why? Because it could be embarrassing. If Jeff then comes to me and touches my shoulder and says, "Oh no, everything's fine," I feel embarrassed because it was not the voice of God, but was my, I don't know, my belly, or, and there's enough of that. But what if it was the sound of God? What if God wants to speak through me to other people, and I'm afraid to open my mouth? This is not only disobedience, this is a shame for my life. Probably God wants to bless somebody else, and I shut my mouth. So I think very often in my life I need repentance. I want to invite us today to trust in God. God is the God of love. He loves us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, for whom? For you and me. So if you have never heard this before, open your ears, open your hearts today. God is loving you. God is a loving God. And He wants to forgive your sins like He did 2,000 years ago. And if we believe this is true, that Jesus came to the earth for one reason, for love, then we should trust God. And because of this God, because of this love, God wants to give us His Spirit so that our belief changes. That it comes from here to here. From a theoretic, "Okay, God, you're there, I believe," into a burning, loving relationship. So that we are as full of fire as Peter was, or Paul, or the others. Full of passion, full of energy, full of power to build His kingdom on earth. Number five and last one, driven by and growth through the Holy Spirit. The New Testament church is a missionary church. When I became a Christian in that anti-charismatic church, I just ran out and tried to do what I thought was my duty as a Christian. I don't know the name of the book in English, but there's a book that's called Tagebuch eines frommen Chaoten. Heard of it? From Adrian Plass. Must be something like Diary of a Chaotic Christian. Oh, you should read it. There's a passage inside. I only have the audiobook in German. I would have loved it to show you today. There's a passage where they ran out and tried to evangelize people. And it's so funny because they did it. I can laugh because I did it the same way. They went to a fast food place, and this Adrian Plassey said, "I went only to the people who ordered fish, because those people were not living in flesh anymore." And at least he invited somebody, and he came to church, and he was very embarrassed because his service was so boring. And so it's a really funny passage. If you find the book ever, it's read it, Adrian Plass. I was the same. I ran out and I wanted to do all the things I thought God told me, "This is your duty now, Jürgen. You're a Christian, so you have to evangelize." So I went out and told everybody about God's love. I'm very happy that nobody has beaten me. But there's something that's the truth. And the truth is that Jesus wants us to go out, but equipped and full of Spirit, in authority. And this doesn't have to mean that I speak in front of 3,000 people wherever I meet them. This means that I go to God, like Peter did, and that He equips me. New Testament church, brothers and sisters, is growing church. And I'm courageous enough to say today, a church also in the year 2014 that is not growing, or that just holds its number or standard, or even shrinks, this church is something doing wrong. If we are willing to be filled or baptized by the Holy Spirit, if we are willing to find our spiritual gifts, if we are obedient to use them, our church will grow. If we are driven by what we think are the rules or the duties of the church, we are going to have the same success like Jehovah's Witnesses. The key is what we can learn from Peter. Let us be filled by the Spirit again and again. Let us pray that the Holy Spirit comes and fills us. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your heart from the inside out. Change your life from the inside out. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your opinions about things. Oh, there's no chance in Berlin. Allow the Holy Spirit to change your prejudice. Let us use our gifts and change this city. Let us change our country by building the kingdom of God. Amen. And I'd like to invite us this morning not only to see this as a theoretical sermon. We go home and have heard something about the Holy Spirit. What we need in this city, no matter if you stay here for 2 weeks or 6 weeks like the Mortons do, or if you stay in Berlin, probably your whole life, what we need are people who are willing to go on their knees and to really pour out their lives to the Lord and say, Lord, here is my life, here is my heart, I give it to you. And I need change. I'm disobedient. I'm fearful. I'm not loyal. But you can change me. What we need is people who get on their knees and raise their hands and say, Holy Spirit of God, fill my life, fill my heart today, and do whatever you want to do with my life. Do whatever you want to do with my heart. Change it in the way you want it to be changed. And equip me the way you want to equip me. You know me, Lord. So you know what is good for me. And if you promised me life to the full, then give me something that fills my life. What we need is people who are willing to put their fear away and trust in God. So I'd like to encourage us this morning to pray for another. In the Bible, it's very often said, people laid their hands on the others and the Holy Spirit came. I'd encourage us today to do the same. There's people in the back, there's people in the front, but there's people beside you. Probably you trust them more than me or whoever, Jeff or Pedro. Then go to somebody else. It's not sad that deacons have to lay on hands or pastors or musicians. You can come to Lucas while he's playing guitar. I'm wondering how he does that then. Go to somebody you trust and ask for the Holy Spirit. Ask him or her, please pray for me. I want to be gifted too. I want to be equipped too. I want to have the same fire like Peter had. I want to be driven by the Holy Spirit and not by the law anymore. Please use this time we're going to have now, the worship time, and do so. Don't go home and not be changed. Amen.